come down to the sixth and last point, that He, that is God, is a God of mercy. Now, when you hear me preach, you may say, oh, is He now? Not the way you've been ragging on us, man. God can't be a God of mercy the way you've been slam-dumping us, man. The basketball player retired, but Pastor John, you never retire. Forgive me. I said that He is a God of mercy. You see, my friends, I'm not your God. I'm your pastor. See, and so if I'm speaking, I'm supposed to be speaking for God, not for me. I have told you, and I'll tell you again, I don't care what you do. Do whatever you want to do and try to get by with God. You're going to fail. If you follow me as I follow Christ, you're going to succeed. God is a God of mercy. Exodus chapter 32. Let's go to that second book of that marvelous, marvelous book. The second book of a marvelous book of 66 books. Exodus chapter 32, and we're going to focus in on verse 14. In many cases, God displays loving compassion to His people, and He needs to display it, I believe, to America, because I believe He's about ready to take us out. Verse 14 says, so the Lord changed His mind about the harm which He said that He would do to His people. That's mercy. You see, God told the Israelites, if you mess up in that wilderness, I'm gonna wipe you out. Moses, the preacher, goes to God for the people and says, Lord, don't kill him. And the Lord repented of his evil. He changed his mind. He says, well, all right, I won't do that. He is a God of mercy. Now, each of you sitting in your pew, don't raise your hand. Think about the incident, the last time you've sinned in mind or body against God, and know that you're sitting in His house right now and He didn't wipe you out. Friend, you've experienced mercy. Because if God was just, He would have killed you immediately. He would have given, He would have stopped your heart and you would have been gasping, dropped over, broke your neck. I mean, when you read in the Old Testament about the prophet Eli, he had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Some boys were some whiners and some diners. The priests, preachers. The preachers was going to bed with all the priestesses in town. They was giving parties all night long. Eli knew about it. Eli wouldn't even tell his preacher sons to stop. God got so sick of Eli, he was sitting in a chair, and the chair flipped over, broke the preacher's neck, killed him instantly. That's justice. Now we're living in grace, my friend. And God hasn't flipped over our chairs yet, have He? Broken our neck. That's what He needs to do. My friend, He is a God of mercy. Go to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12. I don't believe you yet, Pastor John. I don't believe He's a God of mercy. He's a hard case God. No, He's not. His mercy is seen in that His anger is withheld, and He gives comfort in place of that. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1. Then you will say on that day, I will give thanks to Thee, O Lord, for although Thou wast angry with me, Thine anger is turned away, and Thou dost comfort me. In other words, He says, there's coming a day when you're going to be able to see, because God is so merciful. Oh, you should have killed me, but you gave me mercy, and instead of you giving me your justice, you gave me the Holy Spirit to comfort me. And I'm telling you, friends, that's what God is to me. That's the God that I worship. I don't have to come to you and ask you for forgiveness unless I've sinned against you personally. I go to God and say, Lord, you need to kill me for what I thought. And since you didn't kill me, that's mercy. You love me so much, now I dedicate the rest of my life to you, everything that I do to bring glory to your name. You know what we do? We forget Him in 2 weeks. We're doing the same mess all over again in 2 weeks. And then he's going to wait 2 years, and then your job's going to play out. Then you're going to get sick. Something's going to happen. He wants you to go back 2 years prior when you played them all. Said, I showed you mercy, and you didn't thank me, and you didn't take it seriously. Take His mercy seriously, my friends. Luke chapter 1, verse 50. New Testament. Luke chapter 1, verse 50. I'm telling you, we can't get into family life and issues in family life unless we understand who God is. He's a merciful God. We don't treat Him like that. The writer says, and His mercy is upon generation after generation towards those who fear Him. In other words, this mercy is just not for the children of Israel. It's for us. It's for the generations after us if we reverentially fear Him. That means obey Him. You don't reverentially fear Him because you put money in the basket. You don't reverentially fear Him because you came to a Bible church. You reverentially fear Him when you're at home in the midst of madness and trust God without any doubt. You just don't care. You're going to trust God that way. Look at Acts chapter 3, verse 19. We're going to see more of His mercy. His divine mercy is provided within the context of repentance. You see, you're not going to obtain His mercy unless you repent from your debauchery. For it says, repent therefore and return, that your sins may be wiped away, in order that the time of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. In other words, mercy comes as you repent. And repenting means turning from sin and turning to God. And if you don't do that, there will be no mercy. Oh, your luck is going to change. But Christianity is not good luck or bad luck. Some folk come to church and say, I think that if I go to church, my luck is going to change. No, you're going to go to church, your luck is not going to change. You're going to go to church and you're still the deranged freak that you've been all your life. Repent and bow the knee, and then your life changes, not your luck. This isn't a good luck charm here. Your life has to change. Romans chapter 10, verse 12. You said, but Pastor John, we were already there. No, you were there. I wasn't. I don't know where you were. As a matter of fact, every good chance I get to go to the Bible, I wasn't already there. If I take you back to a scripture that seems to be the same scripture two times, you need to know why I'm taking you there. I'm talking about His mercy. This divine mercy is provided as we call upon Him. Now look what it says in Romans 10 and 12. There is no distinction between Jew and Gentile. For the same Lord is Lord over all, abounding in riches for all who call upon Him. If you want His mercy, you've got to ask for it. You've got to say, Lord, I haven't been right towards my husband. I have not been right. Have mercy, Lord. If you're a husband, you've got to say, Father, I am trying, but that ain't good enough. And my lady has been telling me that I'm losing it, and I'm so selfish, I don't see how. Have mercy on you. You've got to ask for it. You will never retain mercy in your life unless you ask for it. If you're too haughty to ask, and listen, brothers, let me talk with you because I know how it is. It's our egos. If you need me, invite me by, and I'll ask Him with you. Because see, with men, it's difficult. Man, I don't bow my knee to nobody. Let me tell you the sweetest things, brother, that you can do is to bow your knee to your Creator. And once you do that and He's in you, He's going to fill you with His joy, and it's going to be a warmness come over you, and you're going to begin to weep, and that's Him freeing you up. He's freeing you up. I know, men, we like to do that in private because we appear to be weak. My friends, that's when we're strong. That's when you're strong. When a man is ashamed before his God to weep and to say, have mercy and forgive me, he's too much of a man for me. I can't use him. Nah. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Titus chapter 3 and 5 says that our very salvation is a result of God's divine mercy. And we're going to find out something as we go to the Titus scripture. It is not resultant of any works that we may do. A lot of us think that we got mercy because we do church work. Some of you in this church, you say, hey, I've been in church my whole life. I know God's going to give it to me. Nah. You don't know your book. It says in Titus 3:5, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness. In other words, He didn't save you because you did a church program. He didn't save you because your name is on the roll. He didn't save you because you're one of the, I don't know what this thing is, a pillar of the church. What? What makes you a pillar and me a post? What makes God loves you more than He loves me the most? Well, I've been here longer than you. Big deal, what you been doing? Name your spiritual gifts. Don't even know what they are. How many years you been here? 50 years, you're a pillar. What? No, you are a lump of sugar. Sweet to the sight. But when we taste of you, it's bland. Jesus put it this way, I'll spew you out of my mouth. See, I'm saying that. You don't base your life of righteousness on works. Works righteousness is what the cults do, not in a Bible church. It says, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration or the new birth and the renewing of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that is what mercy is. He saved us because He is merciful to us. Now, I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for you. He saved me because he was merciful unto me. Last scripture I want to give you in this particular part is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Go there with me. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. And as we go there, we're going to see that we obtain this divine mercy as we draw near to him. Again, if you do not draw near to God, you will not receive this. For the Lord tells us, he says, let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. The church today isn't drawing near with confidence to God's throne. You know what a lot of us are doing? You're calling me up. Now, I don't mind you calling me up. Hey, call me up. Because I'm going to direct you to the throne. I'm going to say, have you gone to God about this? Well, no. Why? Don't come to me and say you've gone to him. Because, see, once you go to him, then God will send you to me. And then what God is going to tell me to do is open the book, man, and tell them what I've told them to do. Since they've come to me, they don't know what to do. I've given you the treaties. Now you direct them in the book what they're to do. But don't come to me first. Because I'm going to say, have you gone to God? Well, I what? I'm saying. And so you're coming to me who is powerless? I can't even give you direction until I know this or have a sense that you've communed with him. And unless he's convicted you of your debauchery, don't come to me. Because all I'm going to do is, what did he say? Ah, look what he says. He says, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. Church doesn't want to do that. Church is looking at the world. Well, man, what is the world doing? The world is doing things, and the world is 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 the world. They're very good at being that, and here we are, very poor at being believers. If you have not received this mercy, my friend, I think now is the greatest time in the world to respond to it.